One response I get from a lot of folks is that Babylon in Bible prophecy, particularly Revelation, specifically and exclusively represents papal Rome. And I'd like to respond to that because while that is the standard historicist view on the topic, and I am largely historicist in my eschatological leanings, I also recognize that if we limit our understanding to the teachings and understandings of the Reformers at their point in history, we restrict ourselves from the additional understanding that the past 300 or 400 years can provide. Now, because of time, I'm not going to get into everything that points to the Roman Catholic Church as Babylon. I don't argue that Papal Rome is indeed a part of the Babylonian legacy. But keep in mind that the papacy lost a huge portion of its temporal power a long time ago. After the Reformation, England, Germany, Scandinavia, and other countries broke away from Roman power. France split away in a very bloody revolution. Then along comes Napoleon, he conquers Italy and imprisons the Pope. The Pope's power was limited to just a few states in Italy after that, up until about 1870, when the Italian government annexed the Papal States. And since then, the extent of the Pope's political power has pretty much been restricted to Vatican City. But at the same time this was going on, the Jesuit Order, an organization built by the so-called and self-styled Jews, and Ignatius Loyola was in fact a converso, a Jew who has outwardly converted to Catholicism, was very busy. The Jesuits had been in conflict with the popes on and off as they tried to take control of Rome. After 1776, the Jesuits joined forces with the Illuminati, founded by Adam Weishaupt, who was also a Jew. Once Napoleon knocked down the papacy for good, they immediately took over. By 1815, the Jewish banking family, the Rothschilds, became the guardians of the Vatican's finances, and guardians is just a nice way of saying they had the Catholic Church by the financial throat. And by the way, the Rothschilds' original name was Mayer. They changed their name to Rothschild because it was German for Red Shield, which in part was reminiscent of the red shields the ancient Roman troops carried. Now at that point, control of Rome was no longer in the hands of the Pope, but rather the Jesuits and their black Pope, the international bankers, and their associated organizations such as the Illuminati and Freemasonry. Control of nations was now carried out through financial means, rather than through military force and religious manipulation. And that's why, also during this time, kingdoms were replaced with republics and similar systems, which are much easier to control than monarchies. So the entire face of Europe changed in about a single century, and it was all due to Rome's new management. Now, I know a lot of people will argue that, it's the other way around, that Rome uses the Jews as a scapegoat. But if you read the Talmud, if you read the Protocols, if you read the Jewish Encyclopedia, and many more Jewish writings, and then look at the preponderance of Jewish names in banking and politics and media and entertainment, when you look at the powerful Zionist influence in the world today, all over the place, in every arena, when you consider how many popes and cardinals and other high-ranking Catholic officials over the past couple of centuries have been and are Jewish, when you look at the Jewish symbolism throughout Rome today, you'd have to be deliberately blind not to see what's going on. Every politician in Washington answers to AIPAC, an Israeli group, not to the Vatican. And it's okay to speak against Rome all you want, but don't you dare be found guilty of anti-Semitism. That has the potential to destroy your life and your career. As has been said, to find out who rules over you, simply discover whom you are not allowed to criticize. Criticize the Pope all you want. That's fine. At one time, that came with a heavy punishment. But no longer. Now it's the people in the little hats that you'd better not speak against. So yes, Rome is still very much in power today, but the papacy is just a footnote compared to Babel influence. Rome is a tool, it's just a vehicle. Now today, our society is very Romish, Many of our traditions spring from Rome. Our legal system is Roman. Its language is even Latin. Protestant churches still retain a very strong Roman influence. Our political structure is Roman. Our architecture is Roman. Our philosophies are Roman. And all of that can be traced all the way back to Babylon. So we're still under Babylon. We're still under Rome. They're just under different management, not papal management. And much like the popes before them, these new managers have seated themselves in the temple of God, claiming to be God, through infiltrating churches with their dispensationalism and their Zionism. As far as these so-called Judeo-Christians are concerned, to speak a single word against the Bagels is tantamount to speaking against God himself. So, to go back to the original point, is the Rome of the Reformers' day the same manifestation of Babylon that we see today? Not exactly. The Pope has lost most of his power, and what power he retains pales in comparison to the Jewish powers that control the world today. That being said, it's still Rome. Rome has just been taken over by another group of people, specifically of the Turkish Khazar persuasion, the so-called and self-styled Jews. And for more on this, I recommend the book The Jesuit Order as a Synagogue of Jews by Robert Alexander Marcus. If nothing else, you can see that no matter who's in charge of whatever manifestation of Babylon we might live under, they are always, without fail, self-serving, scheming, evil, opposed to God and His anointed. The popes claim to be God in that they outright touted themselves as Christ Himself manifest on earth, which is exactly what Babylonian tradition is. Claim to be God, or at least the Son of God, in order to have the resulting apparent legitimacy. Now today, the Pope doesn't so outwardly claim divinity, but those who control Rome now claim to be God's chosen people. They have to. Otherwise, Christians would ask questions, and they can't have that. Dispensationalism and Zionism in our churches today are the current equivalent to emperor worship, Caesar worship, and Pope worship throughout history, and even secularly. You're treading on thin ice if you speak against the current rulers. Now, all that being said, things at the time of this recording do appear to be shifting. Popular opinion of the nation-state of Israel is quickly declining. More and more people are waking up to the power and influence the small hats have in every aspect of modern society, and the Bagels are starting to get nervous. Legislation criminalizing so-called anti-Semitism is in the works here in the United States. So much for that free speech they pushed so hard. And the world in general is just growing unhappy with them. And I suspect, and I could be wrong, that this destruction of Ukraine may be preparatory for the so-called and self-styleds to evacuate Israel and move there. After all, Ukraine was at one time a significant part of the Khazar Empire, so maybe they're working up to going back home once things get too hot in the Middle East, which would be interesting because what would happen to the dispensationalism and Zionism in modern churches then? It's just a theory, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully all this gives you a better idea of what's going on in the world today in view of the image of Daniel 2. We are in the time of the feet of iron and clay, iron representing Rome and clay representing Adamic man, which have been trying to create an alloy but can't mix. And the day is coming when the rock cut without hands smashes that image entirely. Remember, Daniel 2 says that the image is smashed to dust, and the dust blown away on the wind so that not a shred of it is found. No place is found for it. So we're talking an utter and complete destruction. And then that rock will grow to fill the entire earth. It's an exciting thought, and as I watch modern events, and I'm talking socially, politically, and even scientifically, I'm starting to suspect very strongly that the day is coming a bit sooner than we expect, and maybe I'll go into that sometime in the future. We do live in exciting times. But for the next installment, we'll take a look at more history and scripture to further solidify the idea that Babylon is the human state.